Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be a Jet.
Well, I tell you, the way the Jets have played recently, they need the good Lord on their side. So this could be a major move. Yeah.
I think that it's a job of immense demands, and I would hope that my successor has the constitution of an ox and the skin of a rhinoceros, really.
Because of Jesus, our Father hears us as though he were listening to his own dear Son, who is making constant intercession for us.
Seminarians on Vicarage in Indiana love Issues, etc.
Abortion is a lot of things. It is a blight on our nation. It's a public shame. It is a controversial political topic and moral topic as well. It is a secret to many. It is also, as its proponents continually remind us, a choice. And that is, does that make it a heresy? We're going to answer that question here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of March, from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. And I invite your questions and comments for the next 2 hours of the program. A little bit later, Ed Zito will join us. We're going to talk about the movie October Baby that is opening up. Pastor Sam Schultheis will join us to talk about the books behind the blockbuster. Well, it's the first in what is undoubtedly going to be three movies. Hunger Games came out this last weekend to box office success. We'll talk about the books behind those movies and the movies to come with Pastor Sam Schultheis. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us in hour two of the program. We're going to talk about last Friday's Stand Up for Religious Freedom rallies, how they went. She was a speaker at one of them. And a new survey on cohabitation and its chances, or how it affects your chances for a later divorce. And a little later in hour two of Issues, Etc., we'll visit the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed Be Thy Name. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. Now, you can join us with questions or comments for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Life Date newsletter titled The Right to Heresy. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You write that you hesitated to develop this line of reasoning for obvious reasons, making a connection between abortion and heresy. Why is it that we can say, in some sense, that this is true? Abortion is a heresy.
Well, there's one of the Greek words for choice is indeed heresis, which can be translated heresy if describing something that is contrary to God's way, God's will. And so we could translate that popular pro-abortion phrase, the right to choose, as the right to heresy, and pro-choice would be pro-heresy if indeed that choice is contrary to the way of God. And we know that pro-choice really is the same as pro-abortion. And since abortion is the murder of a human being, which is prohibited by God, such a choice is indeed heresy. And I hesitated to develop that because I didn't want it to be used as ammunition for fellow For Life Christians to go on some kind of name-calling frenzy, because that would serve no purpose. But I just wanted to help remind all of us that these issues are more than what you listed at the beginning here. They're a very serious theological issue, abortion. And defending it as a right means you're defending something contrary to the Word of God. You are defending a heresy.
Are you saying that abortion is an unforgivable sin?
Not at all. Not at all. Abortion is a sin like any other sin, one for which Jesus Christ died on the cross. And so it clearly is a forgivable sin. And we have to truly emphasize that, because those who have committed this sin, this heresy, feel that it is sometimes just too big a one to be forgiven. And so we emphasize that over and over again. I preached at a special annunciation service Sunday afternoon up in Minnesota, and emphasized that one of the reasons Christ was incarnate and went to the cross was to forgive sins, even the sin of abortion, and had a woman come up to me afterwards, so very thankful that we had talked about that and mentioned that and made a point of connecting the good news to this particular sin.
So it sounds like that's kind of the point, that abortion is a sin like any other, not to diminish its sinfulness or by comparison, or most certainly the consequences in the life of the mother, the father, and of course of the unborn, but it is a sinful choice, a clearly sinful choice.
Yes, and like so many heresies, wrong choices, it leads to so many other evils and problems and struggles in people's lives, and which is so evidenced in the case of those struggling in the aftermath of an abortion.
When a woman comes into an abortion clinic, quite often she is acting in some sense against her conscience, and she knows it. She feels cornered. I think the data and the research just makes this abundantly clear. Very few women go in there blithely for an abortion, and yet they make the choice nonetheless. What do you say to them?
Well, there is a tremendous amount of pressure out there, as you're indicating, and there's a statement that abortion is not what women want. It's what they choose when they feel they have no other choice. And therein lies the aberration, the sin, because there is another choice, and that is the God-pleasing choice of life. But the pressure is so overwhelming in our society that many of these women and men who are involved in this decision are simply doing something. They feel they have no other choice. They don't have a good choice. They only have this choice, which results in heresy, as we're developing it here.
You say that, and you just mentioned this, that abortion is a heresy like others that actually undermines many other doctrines. Give us some examples.
Well, abortion undermines the doctrine of creation, for it destroys a creation of God, the work of His hands. We're told in Psalm 139 where He created our inmost being and knitted us together there. It therefore also undermines the doctrine of redemption, because we make light of the value that Christ's suffering and death give to every human being from the moment of conception through His atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ died once and for all. And of course, not everyone knows that, but the fact is that He suffered the penalty for all sins and paid the price for every human being. And I, again, going back to this past Sunday where the Annunciation fell on a Sunday, and the emphasis of that, and the fact that that almost always occurs during Lent, just ties the colic for the Annunciation, just ties the two beautifully together, that Christ was conceived, became incarnate at the moment of conception. That was the beginning of the road to the cross. So we undermine all that our Savior went through us from His own conception and through His death and burial. And then it undermines the doctrine of sanctification in the sense that it destroys someone that God desires to call into an eternal relationship with Him. You know, Scripture tells us God would have all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it undermines these three main Trinitarian doctrines, if you would.
Finally, you say that the church cannot be just against abortion. It certainly should be against abortion, but it must also be for life. What do you mean by saying that? About a minute and a half before we close up.
Okay. Well, certainly we are called to expose the deeds of darkness. But besides just calling wrong things wrong, the reason we do that is to point people to what God has done in Christ about wrong things. And so we need to share this positive message of the immeasurable value that God gives to every human being. And that, in turn, will help us from falling prey to this heresy, thinking that abortion or death is the solution to our problems. So we have a truth, the truth of what God desires of us and the truth of what Christ has done for us. And giving value to human life and giving us the way back when we wander down that road of heresy in the death and resurrection of our Savior. So we have a powerful for-life message in the message of the gospel, and we pray that message, that truth, will triumph over this heresy.
Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. He's author of an article in the latest issue of the LifeDate newsletter titled The Right to Heresy. You can receive Lutherans for Life's free LifeDate newsletter by giving them a call toll-free, 1-888-364-LIFE, 888-364-LIFE. You'll also find a link to Lutherans for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Lamb, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tom.
When we come back, Ed Zito joins us. We're going to talk about the movie October Baby.
Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.